which got me into a little bit of trouble.
That's not even funny.
Can't believe we came up with a whole episode, pretty much.
I'd be like, all right, I got 10 minutes. And I'd run to the computer, fucking pull my pants down.
The fire is dying.
I can't even say it. So stupid.
Mr. Yorick!
Welcome to the But You're Wrong podcast. I'm Greg DiNicola.
I'm Keith Padilla.
We now join the But You're Wrong podcast, already in progress.
What's up, motherfucker? Did you get all your Christmas shopping done?
I did.
Did you get anything for me?
No, I'm sorry.
Son of a bitch.
I know. Don't worry, I'm sure that someone will get you something, right?
It's another blue Christmas. I'll have a blue Christmas by myself.
By myself.
Because no one gives a shit about me.
Can you imagine her crying?
It'll be a blue Christmas, because I'll have hung myself.
Be the color of my face.
I hope the pipe in the garage will support me.
I also hope it's higher up than 7 feet, otherwise I'll just be standing.
Then I'll just have to let gravity do the work, and that'll just take a long time, and I'll just second-guess myself, and there'll be a shimmer of hope. And I'll think I'll hear carolers outside. And then I'll realize they were across the street.
I was just gonna say, you gotta say something like, they're at the house next door or something, and they skipped her house. They saw her in the window, and they thought it was the Michael Jordan standee on the train. they were like, "Wow, it's so tall! It must be a prank." And then they skipped.
Yeah, they're just like,
"No one's home."
We watched fucking Home Alone. We know what's up.
Yeah, we know the deal.
No, I'm really here.
Oh, they got a recording of some stupid
voice.
Oh, yeah.
No one actually sounds like that.
Yeah.
No, I'm really here. Please come visit me.
We've seen Ferris Bueller, too. We know a fake voice when we hear it.
Son of a bitch.
At first, when you said Ferris Bueller, too, I was like, wait, what the hell is he talking about? There's not a second Ferris Bueller.
No, T-O-O.
I know. No, I realized, I was like, what the fuck?
What the fuck? I don't...
Where have I been? Like, I'm sitting here and I'm like, oh my god. Is there a second Ferris Bueller? Am I really that out of it?
Holy shit, did I fucking miss another Ferris Bueller?
Like,
or is Keith
imagine?
Just a fucking idiot? I can't tell right now.
You know, it's like if you found out they made a sequel to Jaws.
Well, they did. They made a lot of them, actually.
Yeah, they made 4.
I think we're about due for another one.
I think you're right, unfortunately.
No, I know I'm right, yeah. We're about due.
God. But how are you, sir?
Pretty... Yeah, I'm okay.
Yeah?
How are you?
All right. You know, I'm decent.
Decent?
I'm dece.
So I feel like... Jeez, I feel like we haven't done this for a long time.
I know.
It's good to be home. It's good to be home.
Yeah.
So speaking of Christmas, This is going to be like our pseudo Christmas episode, since it'll probably be after Christmas. But it'll also be your last episode of the year, probably.
Yeah.
But can I just talk about how much I hate working in a retail store now, where they have to play Christmas music all the time?
Oh, okay. They do at the old store there.
Yeah, the old store. They got Christmas music. It was pretty much the day after Thanksgiving, and it's through Sirius, so it's the same songs all the fucking time. Let's see. I wrote down some of the ones that I really hate.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, I like discussing shitty Christmas songs.
Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Okay. Okay. I don't despise it.
Try hearing it three times a day.
Seems like a little much.
For 21 days straight. 21 plus. Because we started, I think, the day after Thanksgiving.
Okay.
There's a song, there's a Pentatonix, they're an a cappella group. They're very talented. I've heard other things that they've done. I just want to throw that out there. They're very talented. My wife's a big fan. They're talented people. Mm-hmm. But there's a Christmas song that gets played way too much on the channel that really makes me mad.
Okay, I don't think I know these people. Or maybe I do, but I don't know.
Do you want me to try and find a clip?
Nah, it's not necessary. Okay.
There is a song called Christmas in America.
Christmas in America.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's, hang on, let me, I'm not gonna find a clip, but, I don't like I don't like the song itself, but I also just don't like the lyrics.
Okay.
Because here's the thing, I'm not unpatriotic, but I don't like when America does that thing where they just always assume that they're the best at everything. Because I feel like that limits any kind of outside being like, guys, maybe we could be better. You know what I mean?
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they limit the option to just be like, guys, I think we could be doing certain things better. And if you say that, you're unpatriotic. I don't like that kind of message. So the song repeats a lot. The phrase, let's see. There's a specific part. I believe it's called the chorus in music. I'm trying to find it. This is not it. Because there's a part where it repeats, it's Christmas in America, God bless the USA. Nope, okay, apparently it's not a Melissa Etheridge song.
Huh? It's Melissa really... Etheridge. That lesbian... I don't know.
Oh, I think it's Pat Benatar. It's Christmas in America, let the angels sing. It's Christmas in America, let freedom ring. Let peace resound throughout the world, especially on this day. It's Christmas in America, God bless the USA. Yeah, but it's Christmas in a lot of other places, too. A lot of places where they have freedom.
See, now, where you and I will differ is the fact that I don't really give a shit. Like, that doesn't bother me. If anything, I just find it entertaining. Not this song. Don't get me wrong. This song sounds stupid. I don't mind that. The pushing of the American superiority thing. I don't necessarily think it's true, but I find it kind of hilarious.
What do you mean you don't? What do you mean you don't think it's true? Like, it doesn't happen that much, or?
No. I mean that it's not like based in fact.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I do find it hilarious, and I don't mind it. Because the thing is that I love, as you know, I love to just, I kind of love to troll people. So, like, that doesn't, like, I find it, like, I like that, you know?
Yeah. So let me read the lyrics of this real quick. Because thinking about it, we have a lot to cover.
Okay.
We have Christmas, we have Almost Frank Sinatra.
Oh, God.
That I got to get out there.
Oh, God. Almost Talented?
Yeah. almost is a nice word. Almost like Frank Sinatra is like saying that America's the greatest country in the world. Like, it's like, always almost what we're going for. It's Christmas in America. There's carols in the air, the snow falling on the ground. There's holly everywhere. Keep in mind, Pat Benatar. Just throwing that out there.
Pat B.
There's holly everywhere. So far, I don't have a problem. The people, they're all different, too. Okay. Their troubles put aside, they smile a little brighter, it seems, at Christmas time.
All right.
I mean, I guess a Christmas...
Hello? Sorry.
It's coming through now, Con. Please.
Sorry.
Our systems are badly damaged.
No, it put you on hold. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. It's just, you know, it seems like suddenly, magically, at Christmas time, which is traditionally a Christian holiday, suddenly all the races of the world get together, whether they celebrate Christmas or not. But okay. All right. Fine.
Well,
whatever.
Well, I don't know. You know, but
it's been commercialized.
Christmas does bring a lot of the races together.
But it's been commercialized, so whatever. You know, it's fine.
You have to recognize the fact that, like, a third of the world celebrates Christmas.
That's true. Well, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's not inaccurate.
Is it? Well, okay, so a billion of the world. Where are we at? 7 billion people now?
Okay, yeah.
A billion of them are Indian, right?
Right.
A billion are Chinese.
Yeah.
And they're not allowed to be Christian.
Well, yeah, but I mean...
Do they celebrate Christmas?
Well...
I honestly don't know. I'm not sure.
Some do.
Okay. They just celebrate as a non-Christian holiday?
Do not speed on the highway?
Right, but they can be persecuted for that over there still, I believe.
I don't know. I also think they've loosened it a little bit. But okay. Regardless.
Anyway.
You know, I'm not so sure that there's any point in us, like, really splitting hairs over the numbers here. But I'm just saying that, you know, like, for instance, like...
I would say, here's the thing. I would say maybe there is at least a billion people who celebrate Christmas.
Well, there definitely is, because there is supposedly a billion Catholics.
So, I would say that there's at least a billion people that celebrate it. Probably 2 billion, because a lot of other people celebrate it, too, even though they don't actually celebrate it for that reason. Right. Of, like, the birth of Christ. But, so, yeah, maybe 2 billion people. So, yeah, like, a little less than a third at this point, probably.
Yeah, but, I mean, it does bring, like, you know, like, I say Merry Christmas to, like, the Spanish people I work with, the black people I work with, like, all the, you know, it's something that we have in common. We all be like, oh, you know, where are you going for Christmas? What are you doing for Christmas? You seeing your family.
Yeah,
like,
no, you do.
It crosses boundaries.
It does. It just seems very hopeful.
Oh, no, I mean, it might be somewhat unrealistic.
But my point is, this song is pointing out that, like, oh, even though everyone's different, we all come together for Christmas. And I'm like, well, that's not entirely true.
No, we don't really get together. But
here's the chorus. It's Christmas in America, let angels sing, blah, blah. It's Christmas in America, God bless the USA. The kids get so excited, preparing for the day. Their letters to Santa have all been sent. Okay. The cookies have been baked. The creche under the Christmas tree awaits the baby child.
The creche?
Creche?
Hold on. Let me, how do you spell it? I'll look it up.
C-R-E-C-H-E. E-C-H-E.
Okay. Continue on, I'll figure it out.
Awaits the baby child, which I'm assuming is Jesus. It seems to mean so much more this year than it has in a while. Okay. I don't really know what that means. It just means, like, this year in particular, we're waiting more for the baby Jesus? I don't know.
The creche is kind of like a...
Like a manger?
Yeah. Or like the setting, more so. Like, if you had, like, a little setting of the birth, like in the barn there. So,
like the nativity scene. Yeah.
I think, I don't know. I mean, maybe some people put it under the tree. I don't know. My family doesn't even have one. Like, we don't have any sort of nativity scene, so...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But then again, my parents are also not very religious, so...
Oh. That's surprising, since they're Italian.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, I think they just kind of...
Well, your dad's Italian. What's your mom again?
My dad's
Irish?
Italian. My mother is Irish and French. Although, he's probably less religious than she is, and she's not even very religious.
Interesting. So then they go back to the chorus, and then here's the next stanza. So keep your babies close tonight. Hug your husband, kiss your wife. The husband doesn't get a kiss.
No.
He's
a man.
Should say, blow your husband.
Lick your wife.
Lick your wife. Cause it's Christmas in America.
We could come up with a much better version.
Blow your husband, lick your wife.
It would be all about blowjobs and licking pussy. It'd be great.
Hug your husband, kiss your wife, or blow your husband, lick your wife.
Yeah.
Be thankful for this way of life. We're fortunate to share. And not forget the ones we've lost. Their memories live on in our hearts, and they'll be forever in our thoughts and always in our prayers. Unto this world a child is born. His gift is meant for everyone. The light of peace shines on and never fades away. America, America, indivisible we are, one nation under God, and that will never change. That's the part where I always start to have an issue where I'm like, what's happening in this song?
I don't want
to
say, now, I don't know how the actual melody really goes, but it sounds like they're really jamming lyrics in.
They're really just jamming in just like a very preachy message, and that's what I don't like.
It sounds very shoehorned.
It's very, very like... It's like everybody's coming together, everything's good, like the kids are ready for Santa, which is great.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It gets a little religious because the creche is awaiting a baby Santa.
I mean, you know,
baby Jesus.
It is about Christmas, so I mean, if it gets a little religious, that's not really fine. A problem.
And then all of a sudden, it just gets very preachy. Like, it just gets real weird.
Yeah, no, I'm going to say this, and I haven't heard the song, like, in its entirety or anything. I think my main gripe is that it sounds like a shitty song.
Yeah, let me try and find a little piece of this. This is supposedly the official video. This is the actual...
It's the pot?
Yeah, this is the shit.
Until this world, its child was born. His gift was meant for everyone.
I mean, this
the light of peace shines on and never fades away. America, America, indivisible we are. One nation under God, and that will never change.
it's Christmas in America. Oh, God. All right. enough.
So here's the thing.
I got to throw this out there.
Okay.
You read it, right? You read off the lyrics.
Yeah.
And it sounded stupid. And I was like, okay, well, I don't really get the melody of it. Your reading of it was really not any different than her singing of it.
Nope.
Like, it sounded just as bad.
Here's the other thing I don't like about the song. It's clearly written for people just to be like, yeah, it's a Christmas song about America, so I love it. Like, you know what I mean?
Oh, like, it like, just hit all the notes.
Yeah, like, she quotes the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
Like, just to get that, like...
Just to get a little...
Yeah.
Get people all riled up.
Yeah. It's just so... Yeah, it's not good.
No, it's stupid. It's bad, but not only that, but just it seems like a very poorly written song. Like, it doesn't sound good. There's no melody to it.
You gotta watch the music video to it if you ever get the chance, because it sucks.
Yeah.
Balls.
Sounds bad.
It's real, real bad.
Yeah, I feel that this is a song that I could definitely do without.
Okay. Yeah, oh, yeah, no, definitely. I'm queuing up the next thing I wanna mention in the Christmas music.
Oh, okay. Yes, moving on.
Well, I mean, you can talk more about.
No. I think we've pumped everything out of the well on that.
I want to point out the and 18 versions of Santa Baby. I don't need.
What? How many?
Like 18. I hear like 18 you're different versions of Santa Baby.
Santa Baby. Yeah.
I hear that song so much, but it's all the different versions. I'm not sure if I've heard the Eartha Kitt song. But look, there's like...
Wait, is that the Orig?
I think so.
Okay.
I think Eartha Kitt is the Orig Santa Baby.
Okay.
There's almost no Frank Sinatra, no Dean Martin, no Perry Como, Bing Crosby. Perry Como. It's upsetting the way that Sirius has set up their station. Unless you occasionally get a celebrity where they're just like, hey, I'm so-and-so from Pentatonix. And these are my 12 songs of Christmas. And then they walk you through it.
And then maybe they'll do like a Sinatra.
They'll throw in like White Christmas. They'll throw in Dean Martin's It's Cold Outside. But like usually it's like something else. Like,
see, I don't like that song. But it is Dean. So, I mean.
It's Cold Outside?
Yeah, it's not a very good song. But.
I already know you didn't. Because you don't watch Saturday Night Live anymore.
Nah, not having it in a while.
I still do. And they did a really funny bit on the latest episode with... it was hosted by Tina Fey and Amy Poehler.
Right.
And they did a sketch that was this couple that used to have like a... like a variety show. Like in the 60s or whatever, 70s. And
not Carol Burnett.
No, but they were showing like clips of like people singing at Christmas and stuff, and like the one person was drunk or whatever, and they were like, "And here's so and so, with an unexpected cameo and like singing 'It's Cold Outside.'" So the one person starts singing, and they're saying "It's cold outside," and the Dean Martin part—that's the guy that's trying to keep him—is Bill Cosby.
wait, is it like a video of Bill Cosby like someone pretending to be?
No, it's somebody. It's Kenan Thompson pretending to be Bill Cosby.
Oh, okay.
Because they're like, what's in this drink? And he's like, don't worry about it.
Nice.
That was actually really funny. But yeah, I mean, that song's not great, but like, I would prefer the Dean Martin version over some of this other shit.
No doubt. I mean, I would take that song over many of like the new shit.
And I have to listen to like Sam Smith sing "Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas." Like, it's bad enough that whenever I go back and watch Spectre, I have to listen to him sing that shitty theme song to that movie.
I heard this new version of Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas Time. Like, someone covered the Paul McCartney song.
Really?
Yeah. To tell you the truth, it might almost be better just because the Paul McCartney song, it sucks. It's not a good song. Like, I love Paul McCartney.
It's not terrible, but it's one of those songs that the more you hear it, the more you're like, this isn't that good. Like, if you heard it, you wouldn't be like, this song fucking sucks. But the more you hear it, you're like, this isn't that good, I think.
Well, it's like in the context of Paul McCartney, though.
Well, that's
it's
true.
Also like,
yeah.
You're like, oh, okay, this is one of the greatest songwriters of all time. And then you're like, this song. This is beneath him.
Yeah.
Actually, like, it's obviously beneath him.
Speaking of Paul McCartney, so we're watching the Christmas episode of Saturday Night Live, and Bruce Springsteen is the guest.
Oh, yeah, just an average hard-working man.
Yeah. He played some new shit.
Whoa.
He played some new shit. It actually wasn't bad. I still do like Bruce Springsteen. I know you're like, fuck Bruce Springsteen, but I...
I'm not fuck Bruce Springsteen. I like Springsteen.
I like the fact that he still writes songs and tries to write them from the perspective of an everyday person and has a meaning to them. Plus, he's talented.
No, he is talented.
So they end the show. So he does the two things, and I'm like, I wonder if he'll do Santa Claus Is Coming to Town. Because, like, that he did that on, like, I Can't Believe It's Christmas or whatever. Like, whatever fucking album that was.
I Can't Believe It's Christmas.
Or, like, Not Your Ordinary Christmas or whatever the fuck that was.
Hey, Clarence, you gonna get a new saxophone?
Yeah, and, like...
Oh, wait, no, you're not, because you're fucking dead.
Well, I was curious about that, because I was like, well, if he does that song, though, like, what's the Clarence part gonna be?
Yeah. Hey, Clarence's nephew, you're going to get a new fucking saxophone.
So what they did was, so they ended the show a little, like, a few minutes early, and the end of the show, where they normally say goodnight, everybody, was Bruce with the cast. So he starts playing Santa Claus Is Coming to Town. And then for the part of Clarence, Kenan Thompson leans into the mic and tries to do, like, that part.
Yeah.
Because they were like, there's no way this, like, new kid is doing it.
Right.
And then here's the weird thing. All of a sudden, Paul McCartney comes out of the audience and, like, comes up on stage and starts playing, like, the Jingle Bells and then stands next to what's the guy's name that was on Sopranos?
Van Zant.
Van Zant. Stevie Van Zant.
Little Stevie.
He stands next to him, and he's sharing a microphone with him and singing. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? Like, where did Paul McCartney come from?
Wow. Well, Paul, he's hanging around.
Yeah, because my wife, Rachel, had the same reaction. She was like, why is Paul McCartney there? And I was like, I don't know. If you're Paul McCartney, though, you can go anywhere.
Well, yeah, you're like, oh, hey, I want to hang out for this episode of SNL. They're like, no.
Yeah.
They'd be like, okay, yes, Mr. McCartney.
He could have very easily showed up that day and just be like, yeah, I got nothing to do, so I figured, eh.
That's SNL. A much better John Lennon voice.
Yeah, I know. I asked for Paul, I got John Lennon. But, yeah, he could have just been like, I got nothing to do. So I figured, what the fuck?
Right.
Go to Saturday Night Live.
What?
Somebody's going to be like, you know, Paul McCartney? No, fuck you.
No. Paul McCartney hasn't gotten kicked out of anywhere since he was, like, 18.
Yeah. He hasn't gotten kicked out of anywhere since he married the one-legged lady.
Oh, she died. Oh, yeah. Good point. Yeah, fucking.
Although she's dead, didn't she? Did she die?
No.
Did they divorce?
They got divorced. And then she accused him of beating her up or something, which was, like, I mean, ridiculous. And here's the thing. Whether it was true or not doesn't even matter because no one is ever going to believe that Paul McCartney beat up a woman.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Like, he Who knows? He could be an absolutely nasty human being. No one would ever believe it because it's Paul fucking McCartney.
Yeah.
I don't believe it. Like, I think that's bullshit. I think she was just being a bitch.
Unless literally hundreds of women came forward.
Like a Cosby-type situation?
Yeah. Because here's the thing. Even with the number of people that came forward for Cosby, some people are like, no.
Right.
You know, benefit of the doubt. But, like, hundreds of women. If they do, like, a million woman march.
And be like, Paul McCartney beat the crap out of me.
That's the only way that people would be like, oh my god, Paul McCartney beats people.
Like, I don't know anyone in the world who was like, yeah, he beat her up. Be like, every single person was like, she's a fucking grave digger. Fucking gold digger.
She might be a grave digger too, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. But like, there's just no way. Paul McCartney doesn't hurt people.
Yeah.
This just doesn't happen.
Yeah. It's not a thing.
No.
And the worst of all, I don't know if I mentioned this, no Lou Rawls on that,
ooh,
on that station.
Oh, yeah, that's rough.
Yeah. None of that panty dropping little drummer boy or anything like that. And if you don't know what we're talking about, I think it's episode 51, which has been getting some hits lately to get people in the Christmas spirit. I think it's 51, the duo gets the Christmas spirit.
We get jolly.
Yeah, yeah. Lou Rawls gets us inspired. So
yeah.
Little Drummer Boy is good, and then he has a bunch of other stuff. But Little Drummer Boy is like pretty, it's good. Really good. It's kind of weird though, because he's like, yo, what's up? I'm a little drummer boy. And you're like,
yo, rumpa pum pum.
Yeah. Pa rumpa pum pum.
Me and like, my bum.
And you're just like, wait a minute, why are my pants off right now? What's happening? Yeah, what weird, is happening right now?
I like using some Lou to get me in the mood, but that song just doesn't really.
That does, yeah. That's a little too much.
Don't do it for me.
The one thing I did discover, though, listening to the Christmas station at work, Aaron Neville Christmas music.
Oh, Aaron Neville, yeah. I knew him.
For those that don't know Aaron Neville, he's the guy that sings the duet, I think actually with Pat Benatar?
No, I think it's Linda Ronstadt.
Oh, yeah, you're right, I'm sorry, Linda Ronstadt, where he does the, I don't know much. But I know I love you.
Maybe. Yeah.
So he does Christmas music. Hang on, I gotta get this through this ad on fucking YouTube here. Here's a Let Snow. I don't know much.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful. But the fire is so delightful.
Yeah, he's not bad.
And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It doesn't show signs of stopping.
But
I brought some corn for popping.
Like, but like, he's such like a high octave.
Yeah.
I didn't know that he did Christmas music, though. I honestly just found this out.
I am not sure I did either. You want to know what else I just found out just by looking up him and the song there with Linda?
Yeah.
I don't know how I missed this, but I just realized Linda Ronstadt was white.
Really?
I don't think I've ever really seen a picture of her.
You thought Linda Ronstadt was something else?
I thought I assumed she was black.
Really?
I don't know. I just assumed.
What's her big hit?
I don't know. That one? Hold on. I'll look her up.
Let's see.
Linda Ronstadt.
Oh, God. Linda Ronstadt. Here's a picture of her that does not look good.
No.
She did a cover of the Warren Zevon Poor, Poor, Pitiful Me.
Yeah,
but what was her... Hey, that's a good fucking song. It's okay when she sings it, but...
Desperado, Don't Cry.
Did she just do a lot of covers?
When Will I Be Loved? Poor, Pitiful Me. Somewhere Out There. So, that's not her. When You Wish Upon a Star. I feel like she did.
Did she just do covers?
Like, When You Wish Upon a Star? Like, she covered Jiminy Cricket.
I think we just discovered something new about Linda Ronstadt.
I mean, this might be part of the reason why. Tracks of My Tears? That's not even her.
Okay, hang on. I just want to say, she's got a huge Wikipedia article.
Really? How many horses?
Oh my god, she's probably like...
Many horses?
She's at least 20 horses. She would probably be... God, I don't even know. Okay, so if we're saying a hoss is a single unit, she's got to be like a...
Single unit. Like it's a fucking an astronomical unit.
Okay, so if we're saying a hoss is single unit equal to, like, say, a foot, okay? We're saying, like, Linda Ronstadt's Wikipedia article is like a football field.
Wow. That's big.
Yeah. I like how we just...
That's a bait.
Yeah. I like how we just really established...
Yeah,
what?
A horse is basically a yard.
No, a horse is a foot.
Oh, a horse is a... Oh, you're saying...
Yeah, like her Wikipedia article.
A horse is a foot.
A horse is a foot.
So three horses make a yard.
Yes, three horses is a yard.
All right, I could deal with that.
Yeah. She had 63 singles.
She won 11 Grammys.
What the fuck? What did she do? All right, hang on.
I don't know. She must have had some original shit that was popular. She had to have.
Will You Love Me Tomorrow? No, that's a cover. That's the Shirelles. What the fuck did this bitch do? I'm sorry to shit on the name of Linda Ronstadt.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many people are going to get that upset about it, especially not considering our listeners.
But it sounds okay, so 1979, one of her singles was the song Allison. You know who wrote that song?
Yeah,
Elvis Costello.
Yeah.
Poor, pitiful me, Warren Zevon. Will You Love Me Tomorrow? The Shirelles. Let's see. Hurt So Bad. Isn't that? Oh, no. I'm thinking of Hurt So Good.
Yeah.
Okay, but that Hurt So Bad was a song written by Teddy Randazzo and Bobby Weinstein and Bobby Hart. It was a single by Little Anthony and the Imperials.
Oh.
That's what I call my dick and balls.
Yeah, Little Anthony and the Imperials.
hang on. Who wrote the duet with her and
Aaron?
And Aaron Neville. Let's see. It's a song written by Barry Mann, Cynthia Will, and Tom Snow.
Now, when you say Barry Mann, you mean Manilow?
No, Barry Mann.
Oh,
it's your cousin, Barry Mann.
I was thinking maybe you meant Manilow because he wrote so many jingles and so many songs for other people.
The original version was recorded by Barry Mann in 1980 and made famous when covered as a duet by Linda Ronstadt and Aaron Neville.
Yeah.
But I know I love you. I don't know much. Yeah. I don't know. There's a lot that I can't click on here, but, okay, apparently she covered We Ran. Isn't that the flock of...
No, that's I Ran.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Come on, Keith. What's wrong with you?
But yeah, like, she, you know... I don't know. Linda Ronstadt. I don't feel like reading the whole Wikipedia article. Anyway.
Well, no. I mean, I think we can safely say that Linda does not have much original work.
Yeah.
Out there, if anything.
What was the last thing she did? She covered After the Gold Rush. Okay. Which is a good song. Which is a real good song by Neil Young. That was in 1999. Then she was quiet for a long, long time. In 2006, though, she poked her head out.
She
poked her head out.
Out of a fucking cave.
She poked her head out, much like a dog pokes out his lipstick. And with Away Renee, which was a hit song in 1966 by the band The Left Bank.
Oh, yeah. Don't walk away, Renee. Na, 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 na. Yeah, I know that song.
You really do? Okay.
Yeah, no, I do know that song.
That was the last single that she had.
Huh.
Let's see. What's I don't know. Like, she hasn't been up to too much.
Yeah. I mean, that's not surprising. She's 69.
Yeah, she is. Oh.
Hey-o.
Last album, 2004, was called Humming to Myself.
Oh, great name. Man. Very deep.
That's what she calls her vibrator.
Humming to Myself.
I think that, even though it's a Christmas episode, I think that might be the name of the episode, Humming to Myself.
I like it.
Unfortunately, it's not to the theme of Dancing with Myself, because Humming to Myself would... Humming to Myself. Yeah, no, that works.
I guess.
I mean, that's better than, you know, anything else we got, or what she's got. Hey, so this makes me think, whatever happened to that Tiffany lady that performed in malls?
Oh, Tiffany?
Yeah, whatever happened to Tiffany?
I don't know. She had a couple hits. One of her biggest ones, though, was when she covered I Think We're Alone Now.
That was a cover?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't think I ever knew that.
I believe the original was by Tommy James and the Shondells. I'll look that up.
You look that up. Let me see what she's up to. She released an album in 2011 called Rose Tattoo.
2011?
So the last time she charted in America was 1988. She released that. It was called Hold an Old Friend's Hand. It was, it ranked 17 in the U.S., 13th in Canada, 18th in Japan, and 56th in the U.K.
Mm-hmm.
The next album she released was New Inside, because she got that vaginal rejuvenation surgery.
Yeah, anyway, she needed it.
It ranked 17th in Japan.
Oh, wow.
All right. And then the next albums that she released, which did not rank in the charts in the U.S., Canada, Australia, Japan, Norway, Sweden, or the U.K., were,
so basically nowhere that matters.
Dreams Never Die in 1993. The Color of Silence in 2000. Dust Off and Dance in 2005. Just Me in 2007. And Rose Tattoo in 2011.
Oh.
So if my calculations are correct, we should be due for a new Tiffany album.
Yeah. You should see some pretty serious shit.
We will see some Tiffany shit.
I Think We're Alone Now. The Ridge is actually, I believe, is a far superior version anyways. Is by Tommy James and the Shondells. Also famous for... wait a second. Oh, Crystal Blue Persuasion.
Okay.
Moni Moni. Sweet Cherry Wine, Hanky Panky.
Tommy and the Shondells on the...
Tommy right? James and the Shondells, yeah.
Okay, here, I just want to play a little clip here, because I've never actually heard it.
I think it's the best version.
I don't think I've ever heard this. Oh, that's good. They don't understand, and so we're running just as fast as we can. Holding on to one another's hand. Trying to get away. Damn. You just blew my mind.
Oh, no, it's a great song. 67, that was.
Damn, I always thought that see, here's the thing. I thought that somebody wrote that for Tiffany. I thought that it was you answer one of those ads in the back of a magazine, and they're just like, you could be a songwriter, and somebody wrote it, and then they got paid like $100 for it, and then
right.
There's a documentary about her and like her creepy fans. It's called
About Tiffany?
Yeah. I think it's called I Think We're Alone Now.
Yeah, I don't like that became like so like associated with her, cuz I grew up on the original version.
I really don't think I've ever heard that before.
And I feel like you're definitely not in the minority there. I feel like that's far more common. I grew up listening to the 60s version, and I always loved it. But, hey, what can you do?
Yeah, there's a documentary. So, here, you know what? Fuck it. Let's just...
Tiffany and I have known each other most of her life, and we're in love with each other, and she's a great singer.
The difference between me and a stalker is... they don't truly love the individual.
As a 16-year-old, she was forced to get a restraining order against Jeff Dean Turner. They have my whole name in there.
I am concerned about Jeff. I think he might need to seek some counseling.
I might ask for a fingernail or a toenail, a lock of hair, or a scab, or a skin from a blister or something. I could ask for that.
Wow.
So, I don't... play the whole fucking thing.
A scab or a blister?
But it's a movie about the, stalkers of Tiffany, specifically. You know what we should do? Okay, so I don't think I've mentioned it on here before. I might have. So I started doing a new show, the documentary show, with a friend of the show, another friend of the show, John Oldfield, and we should do that. But do you want to be on for that?
Yeah, I do actually.
if we cover, because I've never seen it and I've always wanted to, we should do that one, and we should have you on for it.
Okay, yeah, because
it sounds messed up.
Oh, it sounds awesome.
It's oh man.
Okay, count me in.
We'll figure it out. The next ones we're doing are Best of Enemies and Cowspiracy. And I think the episode after that, we're going to tackle The Jinx, the HBO one about...
Oh,
Not Fred Durst. John Durst.
Isn't it Robert?
Robert Durst. Thank you. I almost said Fred Durst, so, you know, at least I knew it wasn't him. So, yeah. How did we get... Oh, Christmas songs.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ.
I think we've covered all the Christmas songs. Did you get all your Christmas shopping done?
Yes, I did.
You don't have any last-minute presents to get for anyone?
Last-minute gift ideas? No.
You don't have to go to the gift card... display a giant eagle or Chop and Save or Shaw's or wherever.
No. The Chop and Save. I might have to swing by the Shop and Save.
Shop and Save or Stop and Shop or whatever the fuck. Oh, Shop and Save is around here. Stop and Shop is most other places.
Yeah, I was thinking of the Shop and Save.
No, you were thinking. You were thinking of. No, you were thinking. Oh, I thought you were thinking of Stop and Shop. Oh, no, Shop and Save is a liquor store, dude.
Yeah, no, it's right by my house. The Shop and Save.
Oh, that's depressing.
With oh, it's a great liquor store with the Pakistani guys and Susie Cream Cheese.
Susie Cream Cheese.
Yeah, that's yeah, one no, of the girls
Susie,
that works there.
Yeah, Susie Cream Cheese.
Susie Cream Cheese. I told my mother that. I was like,
she
oh,
had
yeah,
a
this...
bad infection once. How do you think she got a name?
I was like, oh yeah, this girl, we call her Susie Cream Cheese. And my mother just looks at me and goes, that is the most disgusting nickname I've ever heard in my life. Yep.
Don't talk to me for 72 hours.
Yeah, basically.
But mom, tomorrow's my birthday. 72 hours. Okay.
Susie Cream Cheese. Haven't seen her in a while.
Probably past her expiration and get thrown out.
Yeah.
She was already in the dumpster, so. I don't know what that means.
She's already in the dumpster.
I meant she was trashy, but the way I... That's yeah, what I was going for. And then just the way I said it, I was like, I don't think that works.
She's already in the dumpster, am I right?
Yeah, because she's trashy.
Because she's a piece of trash.
Like that Beastie Boys song, she's trashy. No, that's not it either.
Oh, hey, God. She's just my type.
I'm going to go home and do some more drugs. I'll see you guys later. Yeah, good night, everybody. And it's just like, it's 11 a.m. at the liquor store. And the guy's like, all right, I'm going home and do some more drugs. Good night, everybody. And he just walks out.
He goes out on a high note.
Yeah.
That's it for me.
Guy behind him's like, I don't think you should have sold that guy a case of wine. I feel like that was a bad choice. Girl smacks her gums. Yeah, you know, it's 11.
It's Susie Cream Cheese.
It's 11. Guy didn't even know he was talking about me. I'm Susie Cream Cheese. Why do they call you Susie Cream Cheese? I don't know why you do it, but I just imagine that she takes like a bar of Philadelphia cream cheese and then just lifts it up and takes a bite.
It was, the nickname was given to her by a friend of mine's father.
Oh, God.
And I truthfully don't know exactly why she was called Susie Cream Cheese, but...
It makes me think yeast infection, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely. Like, you gotta think of some sort of vaginal issue. But you look at her, though, and you're just like, yeah, I can see it. Like, she just kind of looks like a Susie Cream Cheese.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I ever saw her, so.
Well, next time you're up, we'll go look for her.
Yeah, let's go cruising the streets for Susie Cream Cheese.
Yeah.
We'll be like the Blues Brothers. We'll get a big speaker on the top of the car.
Oh, yeah.
Susie Cream Cheese. You two girls, have you seen Susie Cream Cheese?
God, we have the cops on us so fast.
That guy in the hat.
Are you soliciting young children?
Yeah. That guy in the hat. Do you know Susie Cream Cheese? Wouldn't it be great if she walked up and she was like, yeah, no, I'm Susie Cream Cheese. That didn't know. So awesome. You'd be like, why do they call you Susie Cream Cheese? Honestly, I don't know. I have no idea.
I have no idea. Some old guy.
Some drunk old man. I sold him a fifth of something and he started calling me Susie Cream Cheese. He said that he was smooth like cream cheese, so somehow I got called Susie Cream Cheese. I don't know. I don't know.
I hope it was really like a gross reason.
I hope it made no sense whatsoever.
I mean, maybe it might not.
I hope it had nothing to do with anything. Like, she was just... I hope she was, like, eating a bagel.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Or it could just be one of those weird, like, old guy things.
Yeah, like, I hope the guy always went to the liquor store in the morning when she was eating her bagel.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, hey, I'm going to call you Susie Cream Cheese. And she was like, what? And he's like, yeah. Susan cream cheese, because the, you know, because the bagels.
And she's like, okay, sir.
And she's like,
thank you, sir.
I guess. It's, you know.
It just sounds filthy. So.
Yeah, it doesn't sound good.
No, so, which makes it worth repeating.
But no nickname. Like, no nickname involving an object. Like, if you go first name, last name. Like, first name, last name being some kind of object, it doesn't sound good. Johnny the Wrench. Even, like, Tommy the Computer, it doesn't sound like... It's not, like, a good reason that you're called Tommy the Computer.
Billy the Dick?
Yeah, Billy the Dick doesn't sound good. Cassandra the Nipple? No.
What about Keith the Cock?
Keith the Cock? I mean, it sounds like I got a big piece, which I'll take, but... It could go either way.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, they could then think, like, oh, Keith the Cock, like, he's got a small dick, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe he is a cock because he's making up for the fact that he doesn't have a big piece. But
Yeah.
Greg
the Sphincter? Like, there's no way.
No, well, I guess you're right. Like, usually, like, any name with a object after, it's not that good.
Yeah. Like, okay, so, like, let's say Greg the Ham? Like, that doesn't sound good.
Well, yeah, well, when you use shit like the Ham, I mean, like, obviously that's not good.
Greg the Clutch? Yeah, I don't know.
There's gotta be one.
That's good?
I don't know if we're gonna come up with it, but there has to be at least one that sounds good.
Yeah, it's called Blank the President. And that's, like, that's all that's...
I don't know.
Nothing sounds good, because whenever you're called blank and then the sump blank, like, it's... You wonder why they're called that.
Right.
You're just like, how did they get that name?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Like, unless you're, like, Keith the Peacemaker.
What about Billy the Kid?
See, but that sounds bad, too.
I don't think it really sounds bad.
But actually, you know, even if you're called, like, Keith the Peacemaker. Like, if you go to somebody and you're just like, I got a situation, and they're just like, we'll go see Keith the Peacemaker. They're just like, is he going to kill a guy?
Like, yeah, but that's cool.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying it's not cool, but I'm just saying you're like, this sounds bad. Like, this sounds like something's going to happen. Like,
huh. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there's something. I'm, you know, we'll find it.
Like, let's, one of these days. Yeah. Like,
we'll table it and we'll come up with something.
Like, even when they made a movie called The Interpreter, that sounded bad.
It just sounds lame.
It sounds like nothing good will come of this. Like, it'll be a bad movie and or...
You're like, The Interpreter. You're like, oh, see, you're kind of a pussy.
Yeah, you're just like, ah, oh, something's not gonna happen. Like, you know.
What,
like,
about The Negotiator? Remember with Spacey and
oh my God.
Samuel?
Oh my God. That was actually, you know what? That wasn't an entirely 100% terrible movie.
No, it was enjoyable.
Except for the part where they do that, like, weird dancing, like, early 90s or, like, mid-90s dancing scene. There's a song that they dance to that's, like, really awkward. Or I guess early 90s, I mean, like, late 90s. Jesus.
Yeah.
It was 98.
Yeah.
Wow. But they have, like, this weird, like, choreograph. Oh, Cotton Eye Joe? I think they danced to Cotton Eye Joe. It's listed in the soundtrack.
Oh, God.
But I think they do a choreographed, semi-choreographed dance scene to Cotton Eye Joe.
In the
In the movie. Greg's like, this is so bad, it can't possibly happen.
I believe it. I'm looking. I can't see that it's not, so.
Hang on. It doesn't have. There's not a YouTube clip. Why is there not a YouTube clip? I feel like there should be, like, hey, Samuel Jackson dancing to Cotton Eye Joe.
Yeah.
But, like, after the opening scene where they establish everybody, there's a scene after that where they all, like, celebrate listening to Cotton Eye Joe, and they're dancing in a bar, and Samuel Jackson's like, he wants to, like, motherfucker. And then something happens, and Samuel Jackson takes people hostage, and then Kevin Spacey goes in, and this whole thing about Shane. That's all I know.
Yeah.
It's not a bad movie, though.
No. It's all right. I mean, again, I haven't seen it in a while. I mean, maybe it's worse than I remember, but
I probably saw it a couple years ago. It's not terrible.
Yeah.
It's not terrible.
I think when I saw it was when my dad was still stealing HBO.
Oh. And he had a soup can lid?
Yeah, and it like just came out on HBO after having been in the theater, and I think I watched it then. Vaguely remember it. So.
Yeah, it's not a bad movie. It's not great, but it's not terrible.
No.
There are worse movies you can watch. Let me put it that way.
That's for certain.
Speaking of bad things, I have an experience to share.
Mm-hmm.
My mother-in-law has, the last few years, been very good at getting me Christmas presents. She has gotten me a grill and a mini fridge for my office. Mini fridge was for my office. Grill was for outside, obviously.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Thank you for clarifying.
Yeah. Fuck you. She is good at getting me gifts. This year, I think I actually got a good gift for her, which I'm excited about. We'll see how it goes. But this year, there was a slight hiccup in the situation because she would always give it to me on Christmas. But the thing that she wanted to give me as a Christmas present was, before Christmas. And as some people out there may know, this year marks the 100th birthday of Mr. Frank Sinatra. Yeah,
absolutely.
Who we are both fans of. Dare I speak for you?
No, that's okay. You can speak for me.
I'm sure you will agree on that. December 12th in Hoboken, New Jersey.
Beautiful downtown.
A beautiful downtown Hoboken, New Jersey. So they did a little soiree at the Monroeville Convention Center for his 100th birthday. And, my mother-in-law completely in the right said, oh, well, I want to get you tickets for it. And she talked to Rachel and was like, do you think he would like that? Think he could go? And my wife was like, well, I think so, but I'll talk to him. So she asked me what I thought, and I said, yeah, that sounds good. Because it's a Frank Sinatra impersonator. And the headliner is a actual Frank Sinatra impersonator. There's, you know, hundreds all over the place, I'm sure. But this one, you look him up online. His name is Brian Dupree. And Nancy Sinatra actually gave him a very nice review.
Oh, okay. All right.
The Nance gave him a good review. So I said, yeah. And then I looked, and there are two dates. The 12th is his actual birthday. The 11th, though, they were doing something, and they had a Rat Pack group with him. So I could see a Dean Martin impersonator and a Sammy Davis Jr. impersonator. And I was like, you know what? I think I want to go on the 11th. Because years ago, when I was in London traveling with my sister, I saw the three of them do a show. Well, not those exact three impersonators, but I saw three impersonators do a Rat Pack. Yes, Cosmo, it's very...
Yeah, funny. He's not pleased.
I saw three Rat Pack impersonators do a show, and it was very good, and I liked the comedy aspect of it.
Right.
It wasn't just the guy singing, there was comedy too and everything, and I liked that. So I think I want to go on that day. So she got me tickets for that day. Now, the show itself, I was not disappointed in. It was fantastic.
Okay.
The impersonators were great. I tried to look up the names of the other impersonators. They take part in a Vegas show, and I think you can find it at theratpackisback.com. But I couldn't find their names, and I mean, look, I didn't try super hard. I didn't do a lot of digging. I wasn't trying to Columbo it. But the Dean Martin guy was great. The Sammy Davis Jr. guy was phenomenal. And he had, like, the moves down. And at first, my wife was like, what's he doing? And then she realized, like, that was how the character was.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
My only complaint, I only have one complaint about the show, is that they did not do my favorite Rat Pack joke. My favorite Rat Pack joke that I've ever heard. Which is when Dean Martin walks on stage holding Sammy Davis Jr.
Mm.
and says, I'd like to thank the NAACP for this award.
Yeah, yeah. That's awesome. Unfortunately, you know,
yeah.
These days.
But they did work a little blue at times. But it was good, but they did, like, callbacks to stuff. Dean Martin, like, linked onto this one woman at one point that he just called Grandma, because he was like, what's your name? And somebody said Grandma, and he was like, Grandma. So at one point he had to get off stage, and he was like, oh, I'm just gonna go talk to Grandma over here. And, like, it linked together. Like, the crowd work was good, and what it would have been probably back if they were doing a real show. When they had to, like, disappear so that Frank could do one song by himself or whatever.
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, it was good. And there are, like, standard Rat Pack jokes that belong to each person. Like, and certain Rat Pack bits that belong to each person. Like, Dean Martin is known for being a drunk on stage.
Right.
He would always have a glass in his hand. His famous opening line was he would walk on stage and be like, how'd all you people get my room? that is what he is known for.
Right.
So the show itself was great. Everybody nailed it. It was, just so fun to see, and it embodied a lot of, like, of what they would be. 'Cause there's a, and you can Google it. And find it on YouTube. There's a show that they did that they have the whole show online. Just Google Rat Pack Concert. It should come up. They did a show. It was like a televised fundraiser that they have the whole reel from for... I forget what it was for. I think it was for like a children's charity or something. It was emceed by Johnny Carson, a young Johnny Carson.
Oh, yeah.
Carson. But find that.
Carson's on.
It's great to watch, and I, like, for a while there, I would go to bed watching that, like, every night, probably for, like, 6 months. That is what I would watch when I went to bed.
Wow.
Because they come out, they each do their bits, and then they all come together at the end. It's just fun to watch. Anyway, So that was the actual show, and I was so thankful that I got to see that show, because even though it was at the Monroeville Convention Center, it was just fun to see and just really cool.
Mm-hmm.
There's a pre-show though. There's an opener for the show.
Oh yeah.
A cheap comic before the unnamed band goes up, if you will. The opener of that show was a local semi celebrity. I won't say his name, but his show title was Almost Frank's, or no, actually it was just Almost Sinatra.
Almost Sinatra.
Almost Sinatra.
No raving review starts with a sigh like that.
I had so many fucking problems with fucking Almost Sinatra. Okay. So he comes out. So it's a big showroom, but they kind of cut it off.
How many people would you say were at this show?
200 to 300.
Okay.
I mean, it was a decent size. We're at long tables. There was a dinner. There was a, well, I shouldn't say there was a dinner. There was a buffet included.
Ooh, a buffet.
Yeah. So you could get the buffet, you could sit down, eat, you know.
All 9 years.
The food was good, though. The food was good. So they cut it off, and then from behind one of the curtains comes a Ford Mustang with Almost Sinatra sitting on the back of it with two showgirls. Now, hang on. In his defense, that's how the actual impersonators entered also.
Okay.
So I will say that. But he comes out. White tuxedo jacket. He's a bald guy wearing a toupee, by the way.
Oh, nice.
Like, there's no...
That's all right. So isn't Sean Connery.
Yeah, there's no way around that. But he's wearing a toupee. But he's wearing an ill-fitting white tuxedo jacket. Comes out with a drink. Starts singing. Here's my thing. Sinatra didn't do the thing where he sang while holding a drink. He would drink during the show sometimes.
Yeah, and he'd put it down and then do his thing.
But he wouldn't hold the drink and sing at the same time.
Yeah. I can't picture any video or pictures of him where he did that.
Yeah, he might be talking.
I'm not saying he never did.
Yeah. When he was doing kind of crowd work and jokes and everything, he would have a drink in his hand maybe, but he wouldn't in the middle of singing take a drink or anything.
Right.
Now, I know this guy, like, here's the thing. It wasn't like so-and-so sings Frank Sinatra. It was called Almost Frank Sinatra. So he was kind of playing the role of Frank Sinatra, but not at the same time. Because
mm-hmm.
He was like, thank you all for coming out for my 100th birthday. I look pretty good, don't I? So you're like, okay, so he's kind of like, it's a shitty impersonator.
Right.
But he kept breaking the fourth wall and acknowledging the fact that he wasn't Frank Sinatra. Because
he shouldn't do that.
So because, first of all, for like fans, he would do stuff like he was drinking while he was singing. At one point, he was getting low on his drink, and he was like, if anybody wants to get me a drink, Crown Royal on the rocks.
Oh.
Yeah, you see where I'm going with this?
No, that's not what Frank, it's Jack Daniels.
Yes.
Oh, that's brutal. Yeah. Why would he, I mean,
If he had said whiskey on the rocks, I could have been like, okay. Because okay, I'm pretty
yeah,
sure
possible.
I'm pretty sure the bar did not have Jack Daniels. For whatever reason, I didn't see it there. I don't know for whatever reason, but I didn't see it there. So if he had said Whiskey on the Rocks, all right, you know what, I'll allow it.
Right.
But he specifically named Crown Royal, and I was like, dude, not what Frank Sinatra drank.
That's painful. I'll say anyone who considers themselves a Frank Sinatra fan knows that Frank always drank Jack.
Yeah. He was like, I'm almost Frank Sinatra, but not quite.
That's unforgivable.
And it was so bad. And it basically became the whoever show. Like, because first of all, he didn't even try to sing like Frank Sinatra. The impersonator obviously tried to sing like Frank Sinatra.
Right.
But compared to this guy, the almost Sinatra guy, I could have sang more like Frank Sinatra than this guy.
Right, right.
Because he was doing... Okay, so here's one big thing. And not a lot of people would probably catch this, but I caught it, and I was like, you son of a bitch. Come Fly With Me.
Okay.
Huge Frank Sinatra song.
One of the best.
Yeah. Frank Sinatra always sings it down to Acapulco Bay.
Yeah.
Doesn't say Acapulco. Sings Acapulco.
Acapulco, yeah.
This guy said Acapulco. Acapulco.
Oh, okay.
Did not sing Acapulco. Acapulco. And I was like, you motherfucker, you're not even trying. Like, you're not even giving it an attempt for how much you pretend to be a Frank Sinatra fan of singing it that way.
Yeah, that's bad. Like, would you even, like listen to it? Like, get the mannerisms and get the pronunciations down?
That was the first song he sang. And it's like,
that's how I would sing it. Because that's how Frank sings it.
Yeah. If you
even
were trying to do...
I normally would pronounce it Acapulco, but in that context,
yeah,
I would pronounce it Acapulco.
Yeah, if you were like Jenny and Mava going down to Acapulco.
Right.
But if you're saying it, Acapulco.
Yeah, I just...
So it, but that was the first song that he sang. And I was like, you son of a bitch. What the fuck are you doing? Like, why? Why? You're not even trying right now. Like, you've already told me that you don't give a fuck. Because you're not even attempting it.
I know.
So that just... That bothered me. He repeated jokes. Like, I guess there must have been at some point where Sinatra did something and he said, I think I hurt myself.
Yeah.
But he said that like a few times and it never got a laugh, but he kept trying.
Well, so he didn't get a laugh the first time and he did it again?
He did it 3 to 4 times.
Ugh. Mm. Ugh, 3 to 4? This is awful.
Here's the worst part. When he came out and he came on stage, you know what he said? How'd all you people get in my room? That's not a...
He used the Dean Botton line?
That's not a Frank Sinatra joke, you son of a bitch. That's a Dean Martin joke.
God damn.
And then he held the fucking drink the whole fucking time. And this guy, he's a pseudo-local celebrity in the local theater area.
Mm.
And he's one of the people that helped make this happen, make this event happen. But he didn't try to be Frank Sinatra. He didn't try to do any of this. He didn't try to actually embody Frank Sinatra. It was just his show, and he didn't sing it as Frank Sinatra. He didn't do any of this as if he was trying to be Frank Sinatra. And it was just, it sucked. It was so bad.
It sounds bad.
And then he does a bit. So he sings a song. Let me back up here. Sorry. I'm getting so fired up about this. it was basically his show because he started off and he wanted to dedicate his song to the veterans.
Okay.
Because the performer's father was in the audience and he was a veteran.
Okay. That's
fine. The song, though, didn't really match the dedication because the song that he sang was Fly Me to the Moon. Which I feel like isn't really a thing. Because I had a girlfriend in high school that somehow, I'm not sure how, but linked Fly Me to the Moon to our relationship. And then after we broke up, probably a year and a half later when I was in college, she was still in high school. I went younger for a change, which was a mistake. So, 9 years older, that's where, or 9 months older, that's where I'm at. I posted on AIM, AOL Instant Messenger for those.
For the kids out there.
For the kids out there. As my away message, like, Fly Me to the Moon lyrics. Is that, you know, you could, like, have a preset number of just, like, default ones that you could just pick
Dude,
from.
I had, like, 1,000.
So I just posted, like, Fly Me to the Moon lyrics one night when I went out to party. And I came back drunk, and it was like, what's your messages? And it was like, oh, so-and-so sent you a message while you were away. And it was like, why are the lyrics to our song posted as your away message? And I was like, why do we, our song?
Our song.
And she's like, yeah, it's our song. I was like, this is Keith's roommate. I was like, I don't know what to do. I'm too drunk for this.
Yeah.
I'm a freshman.
Yeah, you sure you didn't do it just to jabber a little bit?
No. The way I remember the story, that was not my intention at all. I've just always liked that song.
Well, yeah, I love the song too.
But it was not in any way to jabber because I don't think I had talked to her for a while. I've done some shitty things like that, and I remember when I do them usually. I was not drunk at that point.
Mm-hmm.
The point where I was drunk at was when I came back because I was a freshman in college and I had 4 beers, and I was like, "Oh my god, college!
Yeah, I'm fucking wasted, kid.
Holy shit, this is amazing. I'm gonna live forever." My roommate's like, go to sleep.
Shut up.
Just lay down. No, I'm going to live forever, and this bitch is going to know that she broke my heart. Did she really? No, but I just want to make her feel bad. Just go to sleep. All right, you're probably right. Yeah, no, I'm feeling very tired right now. I'm so sick. So that was basically the night of that. But I was like, oh, what the fuck? And then, where was I at in this? Oh, so he does Fly Me to the Moon for his dad. The performer's dad. Obviously not Frank Sinatra's dad. But the guy is pretending to be Frank Sinatra talking about his dad. Not acknowledging the fact that he is somebody else, but acknowledging the fact that his dad is there.
Right.
And then you're like, wait a minute, Frank Sinatra's dad is there? And then he acknowledges his sister and all his friends and, like, other people, and it just became, like, the Dick Van Dyke Show. But substitute Dick Van Dyke for this other guy. And it was terrible.
Oh.
The worst part. And you will agree with me that this is a tragedy, even though you do not like the subject matter.
Okay.
They changed the lyrics to New York, New York, which I know you're not a fan of.
Well, I'm not a fan of the city.
Yeah. To Pittsburgh, PA.
Ooh.
Yeah, see what I mean?
That's terrible.
Yeah. No, meanwhile, almost Sinatra was waving a terrible towel. Yeah. It was not good, dude. It was...
Dude, it's so douchey.
It was so bad. Like, it was like, what is going on? And I just wanted to nitpick him apart and just be like, you're not singing like Sinatra. He would not do it this way. He would not make this joke. That is not his joke. That is a Joey Bishop joke. That is a Dean Martin joke. What are you doing? Like, and, oh, and, so this guy is also, like, a background, has a background in theater. So he was, like, really animated.
Yeah.
Sinatra was not that animated.
No, no.
If you watch videos of Sinatra, he is not that animated. The most animated you will see him is when he's doing Luck Be a Lady and he pretends to roll dice.
Okay, yeah.
He doesn't do gestures. He doesn't do wacky faces. He just sings. And the emotion is conveyed through his voice.
Wow.
But this guy's doing faces and like, whoa, oops, I am.
Does this guy know anything about Sinatra?
He pretends that he does because he says that
he's almost Sinatra.
He was it. Well, he was apparently a driving force behind making this event happen. And I was like, "Fuck you, dude!" For another 5 years, if it gets you off the fucking stage, I will take voice lessons and I will come up and be almost Sinatra, and I will do a better fucking job than you just did.
Right?
Because. Now- I don't think Sinatra ever wore a fucking white tuxedo jacket in any kind of famous, iconic fucking thing in his entire fucking life.
Now, did he look like Sinatra?
Like an old Sinatra, yeah. Okay. Kinda.
Almost.
Almost. Almost, but, you know, not really.
Yeah.
So, yeah. He was almost Sinatra, but unfortunately, he was almost Bud Sinatra, Frank's half-brother.
Yeah, Bud.
I'm Bud Sinatra. I'll be entertaining you with some tunes here in Atlantic City. My brother's in Las Vegas.
Oh, God, this guy sounds like fucking Bud Bundy.
It was terrible.
It sounds awful.
Like, it just, any Sinatra fan, like, I wanted him to get booed off the stage.
You think, was there anyone that enjoyed it?
Yeah, here's the thing. So, there were a lot of people there that were, like, his, like, that know him and were his fans. So, here's the fucked up thing. There were a lot of people that know him and are his fans. And they had tables reserved for him up front.
Gosh.
They were there. And then after he performed, they left and didn't actually see the actual Frank Sinatra impersonator.
So they were like, oh, fuck this. We saw the act.
Yeah, we saw the one guy we wanted to see, so fuck that guy.
Oh, man.
So they didn't see the actual impersonator, which sucked because he was fucking phenomenal. And then they started it, and then I think some other people followed, and they gave him a standing ovation, and that was one of the few times where I was like, no.
Did you not stand up?
No. Oh, people gave him a standing no. I was like, no, I'm not doing this. I looked at my wife, she was standing up, and I was like, no. No, I will applaud him out of respect. But I will not giving him a standing ovation. This is not happening.
Good.
I was like, no.
Yeah, so, someone's got to take a stand.
Yeah, like I was just like, this is terrible. What are we doing here?
Oh, God.
It was... Here's the thing. Like, if he had just been like, my name's so-and-so, I put this together, as an opening while you guys are eating dinner, I just want to come out. I want to sing some of my favorite Frank Sinatra songs. Because he means a lot to me. He was an inspiration to me, so I want to come out and sing some of my favorite Frank Sinatra songs. I would have been like, perfect, okay. And he could have done a good job. And I would have been like, okay, then no, that was perfect. That was fine. but it was almost Sinatra. It was the title of the show.
Yeah.
And then he pretended to be Frank Sinatra, but then would occasionally backstep and be like, no, I'm this guy. And this is my dad, this is my sister, this is my friend, this is my other friend, this is my lawyer, this is my other lawyer, this is my accountant. Like, what the fuck? You don't have to pretend to be Frank Sinatra. Just sing some Frank Sinatra songs.
Right, right. Like, you could have done it from a different perspective. Fuck it. It wouldn't have seemed as douchey.
Yeah, fucking Michael Bublé made a career out of this. Like, that's his job. That's he that's sings true. Rat Pack songs 99% of the time.
Yeah, boobs.
The fucking boobs. Oh, God. I was just like, fuck you, dude. But here's the best story out of that night. And then I guess we should probably wrap it up.
Yeah.
But here's the best story out of that night. So in the intermission between the two. Gotta take a leak.
Yeah, obviously.
Just so you know, the setup was there was a bar. You had to pay for the bar.
Yeah, they have Crown Royal.
They did. They had Crown Royal, that Jim Beam. I didn't see Jack Daniels, which is why I'm assuming they weren't like boasting the Jack Coke. The Sinatra Special, as they called it, was some fucked up fruity drink, and I was like, no, Sinatra Special should be Jack on the Rocks.
Right.
But what the fuck ever, whatever. I'm not gonna nitpick because it was probably like somebody from like Jim Beam or this bar or whatever was like, no, like we'll dictate what the special is and then we'll give you money to do it or whatever. Or we'll give you a price cut on being the bar or there or whatever. You know?
Yeah. Like
some BS. Anyway. The best part though is you had to buy tickets for the bar. All drinks were the same price, so you had to buy tickets for the bar in order to get drinks.
Huh.
So we had to go get some tickets and then we could go and get our drinks. I don't know what the ruling on that is. But anyway.
I mean, why you wouldn't just do a cash bar? I have no idea.
But I'm assuming it's some shitty legal thing where, like, yeah, only certain people can take it or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
Anyway, so between the two shows, there's a half-hour intermission.
Okay.
And I naturally have to take a piss. So I go in the bathroom. There's like one guy ahead of me, and then I get up to the urinal. And then the guy on my left at the urinal is doing that like wide-legged stance. But he's also got his right fist like on the wall, like bracing himself.
Ooh, okay. All right. I mean, I've seen this move.
And he's making like the trying
Ooh, like
to
he's
like
forcing it.
Yeah, like he's gotta force it.
Oh, all right.
So he's there before, like, when I show up in line and there's one guy ahead of me, like, he's there. And then somebody else leaves and I come up in line and he's still there and I'm going. And in the middle of me going, I hear him fart.
Oh, he's, because he's forcing shit so hard that he starts farting.
Yes.
Oh, that's
cool. Like, I'm there and I hear, and I was like, and I'm looking down at my stream and I'm going, don't fucking laugh. Don't fucking laugh. Don't laugh. Just whatever you do, don't laugh. And then
again?
Okay, yes, again.
Oh,
and
nice.
I was like, oh, don't laugh.
Very good.
Don't laugh.
How old was this gentleman?
50s maybe. We'll say 50s.
Okay. So to the point where maybe he has a stream problem.
Yeah. But he's like, but he didn't react to the farts.
Okay, so it just,
but
it was,
I
just
know
out
it was
of the
him.
Program.
Yeah, I just know it was him. So like, I was just like, okay, don't laugh, and then I kind of start smiling. I was like, okay, just pretend you're a happy-go-lucky guy.
I'm just happy to be peeing.
I'm just a happy guy peeing. All right, yeah. That's good. And then one more time, I heard. I was like, okay, stream is almost done. I'm almost done. I'm almost away from the stall. All right. Okay, I'm done. And I'll go wash my hands. And then I leave. And I immediately get on my phone. And in the notes section where I was keeping notes on this event for the show.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I was like, my note is literally guy farting at urinal.
That's awesome.
So I went back, and then I was so the whole thing started because Rachel was like, where are the bathrooms? And I was like, I think they're back there. And she was like, oh, you sure? And I was like, do you want me to go look? And she was like, I mean, if you want to. And I was like, well, I have to go anyway. So I went, and then I got this whole great story out of it. So I wrote that down, and then I went back to the table. And I was like, no, you know, bathrooms are over there. And then I got something to tell you later on the ride home.
Man farting at urinal. That's good.
I don't know where this motherfucker's sitting, but I got to tell you about what he just did.
I mean, we've all farted at the urinal before, but, you know, when you're in a public place like that, you know.
Yeah, you got to figure. That's almost a time, like, look, if you have that issue where you're like, I have to push so hard, sometimes I fart when I pee. Like, just go into a stall.
Just go into the stall, right?
Pretend you're taking a shit. Just, like, take the toilet seat cover out, put it down. Just, like, do the whole song and dance, unlike Almost Sinatra did. But just do the whole song and dance, and just sit down, pee, but just fart because we think you might be shitting. Like, like, that's all you gotta do.
Right, right.
Because if we, look, here's the thing. If we hear it and we might smell it, like, even if there's the suggestion that we might smell something, which we get from the hearing of a fart, like, we're going to assume you're shitting.
Yes.
And we're not going to judge the size of the shit. We're going to be like, oh, maybe that guy just had, like, a, you know, like a marble or something to shit out. Like, it just came
he's
out.
He's shitting pebbles in there.
Yeah. He doesn't have a good diet, so the guy's shitting pebbles. He's farting a lot while he's pissing and everything. That's, you know, the guys do that sometimes. So, you know, that's fine. That's fine. But this guy, this motherfucker's farting at the urinal. What the fuck is up with that guy?
Yeah, it's a little, I mean.
Like, and it was audible. It wasn't like. Like, it was like a. Like, it was like people heard it.
No, like, if I know the people I'm with at the urinal, like, then who, I, like, I don't care. Or, you know.
Yeah, because I'm.
It happens by accident once in a while.
I guarantee you have farted at a urinal next to me.
I'm sure I have. Yeah. Like, I'm positive I have. But.
But, like, God. In general places, like. And here's the thing. Like,
I would try to keep it to a minimum.
Sometimes you fart once. Sometimes you fart once. This guy farted three times, standing, standing, like, within a foot of me. And I was like, dude.
I like that he had the fist on the wall, too.
Yeah. He's in the, And that's how I knew that he was forcing it so hard that he was farting. Because he was just like, Because sometimes you pee at a urinal. Ladies, this is going to get kind of sexy. Sometimes you're peeing at a urinal. And you just have to fart.
You do.
And you just go, eh, whatever. And you're just like, pff, or pff. Maybe it's a little like more, yet, but it's never like you're forcing it so hard. It's like, like, you fart, like, if you have fist on wall, which was a leader of an ancient Native American tribe that Christopher Columbus wiped out. Fist on wall, you're just like, and then you hear the street like, and you just hear it kind of like hit the urinal, and then you hear
you're like, sir, I think you're in need of more than a urinal. Like, maybe you should just go try and poop.
And then, just says it.
Like, maybe you should just go give it a shot.
They do the deep breaths, or they're just like.
You know, like he's psyching himself up to go back in.
Yeah. God damn.
Just fucking, just, dude, just sit down to pee. There is a urinal open right behind you, or there's a stall open right behind you. Just
that's
go in there. Just go. Just be free. Just do what you gotta do. We're not gonna question it when you're in a stall. But when you're standing right next to me and both our dicks are out, I'm gonna ask some questions. Especially when your fist is on the wall.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds arduous.
Oh, God. It was so... Ugh. But we were also, like, some of the youngest people there.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I bet that there was not too many people that were within, you know, 15, 20 years of you.
Yeah. There were some people. It's funny, because, like, so some people were, like, kind of dressed up for it. Oh, shit. I have a picture. I got to send this to you.
The Monroeville Convention Center?
I took a picture of a guy wearing a blue suit with a white shirt and a skinny black tie pinned in that I named the Pittsburgh Ray Liotta.
Oh, nice.
Cause he looked just like it was like he walked out of fucking Goodfellas, like walking through the fucking
when they're walking through
the fucking Copa. I was just like, oh my god, that's that guy. Like, that's what he looked like. There were so many fucking Italians there. It was fantastic. I snuck a picture.
Well, yeah, I mean, that kind of event just kind of brings us out, you know?
It's not
like,
so,
we come out of the woodwork like cockroaches to a fucking Sinatra event.
Yeah, so it's not like a great picture. Hang on, let me see if I can send this to you real quick. Message, Mr. Gregory Di Nicola. This is like a meeting of like the Italian mob minds here. He's the guy on the far right, if you get the picture, that I nicknamed the Pittsburgh Ray Liotta.
All right, let me see here.
Let me do a little musical interlude. Here's a little bit of the real impersonators. Good, right?
He does kind of look like Liotta.
Oh, yeah, no, that guy does look good. And the Frank Sinatra impersonator is good as well.
Oh, no, he actually sounded like Sinatra. I mean, you know, close enough.
Yeah.
Almost.
He sounded better than almost.
Oh, it's certainly better than almost. Yeah, no, this guy does kind of look like Sinatra.
Yeah.
I mean, Liotta.
Yeah, Liotta. Well, the guys looked like Sinatra, too. He looked like a young Sinatra. But yeah, the guy does look like young Ray Liotta. I'll have to post that to our Facebook page when I put this up.
Yeah, definitely. I bet all the grease balls came out for this.
Oh, there's so many, like so many Italians, and I keep wanting to, like, every time I run into Italians in the area, I kind of want to be like, yeah, no, I got some Italian friends, and one of them called me an honorary paisan once. I'm like, nah, I don't think I can get away with that. I don't think it would work.
Like, I'm sorry, I'm Slavic.
I'm a Slav. I make good pizza. I like your work.
We make pizza, and then we name a place after an Italian.
Yeah, I like your work. I make good pizza. I got a lot of friends. Can I get Greg on the phone? Greg, pretend I'm Italian. My life is in jeopardy.
He'll vouch for me.
Yeah, please, I need your help. Here's I think a little bit of almost Frank Sinatra. Here's almost Sinatra. Oh yeah, because
Oh.
Yeah, oh, it's painful.
Yeah, see what I'm working with? See, you see what I'm working with here. That was, it was bad.
God damn.
Oh, so the button on the whole thing. Here's a nice little bow to tie it up. Christmas and Snatch impersonators. Last year, as some listeners may remember, and as you probably remember, we named our Christmas tree.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Philip Tremor Hoffman was our Christmas tree last year.
Yeah, yeah, he also died.
Yes. Our Christmas tree this year, I suggested Frank Sinatra.
Yes.
Rachel made it so much better and said almost Frank Sinatra.
That's good.
So our Christmas tree this year is almost Frank Sinatra, and he's doing all right.
Good. That's good to hear.
Yeah, almost Frank Sinatra is much better than almost Frank Sinatra.
Good. He's good. Good looking tree.
Yeah. No. He's good. He's doing all right. He's doing all right. As some people who follow me in particular on social media may have noticed, my wife got me the perfect Christmas ornament.
Oh yeah.
The Wrath of Khan ornament.
Oh, all right. I didn't see it.
It's on. It should be on Facebook.
On the book.
Yeah, I think I should have posted it to the book too. Okay. I titled it "My Wife Totally Gets Me." Hashtag Christmas 2015. It's just a video clip of me playing it because it's the scene at the end where Jim goes down to Spock after he's gone into the reactor or whatever, and you press the button and it just goes "Ship out of danger." Yes. And then they talk about, like, don't be sad. It is logical. The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few or the one. I have been and always shall be your friend.
It says the whole thing?
Yeah, it does that whole bit.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
Oh, no, and then it goes, live long and prosper.
Wow.
Yeah, so, but like,
I'm surprised it had that much recording space.
I'm surprised that in 2015 somebody was like, you know, we need to make an ornament of Spock's death scene.
His death scene.
In Wrath of Khan.
You're right. Like, I'm looking at it right now, the picture, and I'm just like, like, why is this a Christmas ornament?
They're just like, all right, 2015 ornaments. What do we got? We should probably do something with the Avengers. Perfect. Let's do it. I don't know. Shake It Off, the Taylor Swift song. Do it. Uptown Funk. Do it. You know this Pixar movie. Do it. Hey, got an idea. What? How about the Spock's death scene from Wrath of Khan? You know
do
what?
It.
Do it. Yeah, do it.
That's the biggest yes I've had all day.
Yeah. It was the last idea of the day, and he was like, no, let's... You know what? I fucking love that movie. I actually got a hard-on just thinking about it. Let's do that. Let's make that happen.
Like a rock just thinking about that scene.
Yeah, my dick is like a dilithium crystal, just thinking about that.
A dilithium crystal. I hate you. That's not true, but...
I'm just rewarding our Star Trek fans.
Yes.
But yeah, no, that was my Christmas ornament this year, and I was just like, oh my god, I can't believe they made this. This is amazing.
I mean, it's cool. Very cool.
And my hope that in like within the next couple of years they run out of things again, and the same guy that suggested this goes, what about an ornament of when they're on the bridge, and they're just, and Kirk is just like, it's coming through now, Khan. Can we do that? Is that like a? Can we do that? I want that ornament too. Where he like puts on his glasses and he's like, "Please, God, our systems are badly damaged. Please give us a minute." And he's like, "You have 60 seconds." And then they wait like probably 30 seconds. And he goes, "I'm waiting. It's coming through now, God." And then they figure out the missile fucking code. Here it comes.
No, I got you.
Yeah. Here it comes. Fire. Oh, such a good movie. Yeah. Except when they remade it.
Well, kind of.
Well, I mean, they basically did. Do you see Star Trek yet? Or not Star Trek, Star Wars. Star Wars.
Seeing it tomorrow morning.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah. What?
I want to see it soon, but I don't know when I'm going to have time to see it.
Yeah. No, I know. I mean, I probably could have seen it last weekend, but...
You didn't want to be that guy?
Well, I didn't go, like, opening night. I just didn't feel like it, like, doing the opening night shit. But, I don't know. I figured I got tomorrow off, so I'll just do it then. It works.
I think when we come back from New Jersey, I might go see it next Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll try to refrain from spoiling.
Oh, my God. If you spoil shit, I'm going to be so fucking pissed off.
Yeah, what are you going
to
do?
I'm not going to talk to you for days.
What are you going
to
do?
I'm not going to talk to you for days.
All right. Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah,
don't tempt me.
You know, I'm going to talk to you nonstop for days.
Yeah. All right, fine. I won't say anything.
And there you have it, folks. All right. Should we? I guess that's about it.
All right.
Do we have any good way to wrap up the year, start off the kickoff the new year? All right. For this year in But You're Wrong, I'm Keith Bodela.
I'm Greg DiNicola. Remember, everyone, no regrets, and Linda Ronstadt was a fraud.
Thank you for listening to the But You're Wrong podcast. If you like what you hear, check us out on Twitter at BYW Podcast. You can also check us on Facebook at facebook.com/ButYou'reWrong. And if you have any grievances to air, be sure to email them to bywpodcast@gmail.com.